Thank you, Pastor Peter. Very good morning to all of you here at Tanglin, as well as those of you online. Good morning. Would you do me a favor and just turn to the person beside you and share what is the weirdest Christmas gift you've received so far? The weirdest one, the unusual one that you've received so far. And while we're at it, you know, we just want to give thanks to all our serving team members. From early morning, from 6 a.m. onwards, you've been here. Thank you so much. Can we give a hand for all those who have been serving? All the way from downstairs, all the way to upstairs, from behind the scenes to in front of the scenes. We're so grateful for you across all ministries. And if this is your first time with us, we want to welcome you to Grace. And maybe this is your first time in a long time in the church. Welcome as well. Welcome to church. We're so glad you're here. I want to let you know that we've been praying and preparing for you this morning. Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year. The most wonderful time of the year. This period, this season, is where you walk in the malls and you hear this song going around. It's the most wonderful time. And sometimes when we walk and we feel the season starting, I ask myself, is it really the most wonderful time of the year? Because maybe some of us, even though we celebrate, you see all the lights and all the fair that's going on, maybe some of us, we're actually going through a very difficult time. Maybe some of us, it could be the most painful time of the year. Maybe for some of us, it could be the most difficult time of the year. But this is the season for all of us, and it's a season of giving that we know of. And for us, as those who believe in Jesus, we celebrate. Why? Because we celebrate that Christ was born. Because He is the greatest gift to us. Don't you think it's amazing that after thousands of years, we're still gathering to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? Even the songs, the carols that we sang earlier, all of it point towards the arrival of this person, Jesus. And usually towards the end of November, like what I mentioned, lights will go up on the malls, the streets. You know, Christmas markets will pop out at different places. And if you go and observe, there will definitely be this store that sells toys or this nativity scene, where there's Mary, there's Joseph, and then there's this baby Jesus and animals gathered around. And the baby looks so sweet and so silent, so sound. I don't know how true is that, but yeah, if you had a baby before, you'll know that's not the case. But as we look at this scene, there's so much more to it than meets the eye. See, if you think about it, it's actually quite unusual. A baby resting in a manger, wrapped in cloth, in a stable with animals. What? Even a person then would be like, what? Why would this even happen? You know, friends, have you been to a zoo? Have you been to a farm? You know, I recently took my family overseas for vacation and we went to this animal farm and I brought my kids there. And the thing about this animal farm is that before you see the animals, you can smell them. Before you even walk in, you smell the whole place already. There's, you know, there's poop, there's pee all over the place, and it's not the most hygienic place. The last thing that anybody would imagine near animals or livestock is a newborn human baby. Yet history tells us in this humble setting, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was born. So the question is, why? Why was Christ born? What was so significant about His birth that we're still talking about it today? So let's take a moment. I want to encourage us, just take a few moments with me to travel back, to step back into history. And let's read about what happened from the Bible in Luke chapter 2. It says here from verse 8, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." I'm glad the angel said, "Fear not," because if I'm a shepherd then, I would be freaked out and running away right now. suddenly an angel appeared, and then suddenly there's a whole heavenly host all praising God together in front of me. I'll be so shocked. See, the story unfolds in this unusual and interesting manner. The birth of Christ was first revealed to shepherds in the middle of the night in an open field somewhere. So what is this good news and great joy that surrounds the birth of baby Jesus? What is the purpose of his birth? What is the true reason for this season that we all celebrate? And can I encourage us this morning that the reason is this, that Christ was born to save humankind. Christ was born to save humankind. And I'm going to unpack this, allow me to unpack this by sharing three reasons why Christ was born to save us. And the first reason is this, that Christ was born to rescue all people. He was born to rescue all people. We read in verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." You would think that the Savior of the world, the Son of God, will come in a certain manner for certain groups of people. Maybe those in the higher status, you know, higher social economic status, or maybe those in government, or kings, or priests, or those who are highly religious or pious. But in the Bible, it didn't say the baby was born and revealed to kings or to those in the higher in society. It was revealed to shepherds. And it said here that he came for all people. It was great joy for all people. It's so interesting that the angel of God first appeared to shepherds. Of all people, why not a grand entry, a royal ceremony, you know, celebrating and marking the Savior of the world coming? Who were these shepherds? Well, friends, shepherds in that day were regarded as lower in society. And they had to work out in the fields, and they were considered peasants, unlike those in power and privilege. And these shepherds were definitely not part of the family that were involved. They were not related to this family that were giving birth to Jesus at all. They were considered outsiders. In other words, these shepherds would seem to be unqualified, or the last persons you would think of to receive such great news about the Savior of the world. And the best part of it is that they got to see this Savior personally. Yet the very people that were deemed unqualified by others were the very ones that God chose to reveal the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. These shepherds were invited into the arrival and celebration of the birth of His Son. So what does this tell us about God? It tells us this, that this great news and good news that God is extending His love for all people, for all kinds of people with different backgrounds. He's not a God that only cares for certain groups of people, but rather He's a God that so loves the world. See, some of us, we may feel unqualified, or maybe we feel like we are not fit to be that person, or we're the last person that God would think of or care about or love. Maybe you'd be thinking, if only you knew what I did. If only you knew my past. Or if you knew who I am, why would God bother about somebody like me? Let alone care about me. Friends, this is the good news of great joy for all people. Regardless of your past, of what you've done, or who you are today, God loves you. He loves you, and Jesus Christ was born to save all people. That's why He says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Which means that if you are right now in this world, you're more than qualified to receive His love for you. All you need to do is to simply believe in Him. See, whatever you're going through right now, whatever your past may be, God wants you to experience His love for you. He wants to rescue you and give you great joy. It's not about how well we are doing in this life or how morally right we've been living, you know, without trying not to hurt other people. But it's about experiencing this love and great joy that is not based on circumstances or through the stages and seasons of our life that we go through. See, happiness, this world that we live in, keeps telling us, go and pursue happiness, chase happiness, get happy. It's what it's all about. But happiness is about happenings. When someone does something sweet to us, oh, we feel happy. You know, when your husband gives you a flower or a card, the wives are like, oh. Or when someone buys for you something or says something sweet to you, you feel happy. And this happiness lasts for a moment. Because happiness cannot happen without happenings. For example, recently I got my son an Avengers Lego toy. Wow, he was so happy, you know. Wow, he was so happy. Few days later, I brought him to the toy store. He's like, Papa, I want that Super Mario. The happiness gone already. I want this only. This one. See, it's about happenings, about moments. Well, but joy, on the other hand, is from the inside. It's given by God and not something that is incidental or accidental. And maybe the question for us is, maybe some of us, we've been chasing after happiness, but what we truly need is the joy from God. And I'm so grateful this morning that we have a God who wants to give us great joy, and He gave His Son to rescue all people. So what is He trying to rescue us from? What is God trying to rescue us from? He's trying to rescue us from this thing called sin. See, the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, friends, sin is basically missing the mark. And that's the bad news. We've all have made wrong choices or done stuff that we are not proud of. And more importantly, we have all sinned against God. And it is sin that separates us from this God. See, our humankind is broken because of sin. And as we look in across our world today, we see the problem of sin and the effects of sin more than ever. More lies, more scams, more division, more violence, more conflicts, more wars, more polarization, more than ever happening in our world right now. And the horrible thing is that this sin ultimately leads to death. That is eternal death and separation from God. And the worst news is that we are unable to save ourselves. See, some of us have probably tried different ways and means, whether it's finding purpose, finding acceptance, or finding love in different places. We've tried to fix that brokenness inside of us, but the reality is there's still something missing within us. See, a broken watch can never fix itself. Only the person that has designed and made this watch is able to figure out what's wrong and fix it. And in the same manner, Christ was born to rescue all people because He has the ability and power to rescue us from sin and death. And more than that, to give us life. Not just life, but eternal life. And the Bible says, life abundantly. See, this word life means flourishing. A life of flourishing, not just in the physical, but in the spiritual as well. Maybe the question to ask yourself is my life flourishing today? Am I flourishing? Friends, this is the good news and great joy that God wants to give all of us. He wants us to be rescued from sin, from shame, from our past, from guilt. And He wants to fix our brokenness in our humanity. And that's why Christ was born to save humankind. The second reason is this, that Christ was born to relate with us. He was born to relate with us. The verse continues in 11. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." See, instead of arriving in some grand entry or appearing with the army of heaven, which Christ could have simply done, but Christ was born as a baby. Imagine this, Jesus, who is fully God, came wrapped in flesh. Just think about that for a moment. God chose to bring His Son into this world as a baby. He didn't send Him as instantly coming from heaven, choom, like Thor, you know, just... And many of us would have loved that, just instantly come and change everything right now. But He sent Him as a baby. And we sing of all the Christmas carols in like Away in a Manger. Then you sing all these carols, you hear like the baby is so sweet, soundly asleep. silent night. And as I mentioned earlier, have you been around a baby? They're not very silent, you know. In fact, my wife just gave birth about a month ago to our third child, and my night hasn't been very silent. In fact, my life hasn't been silent since our first child 4 years ago. Not very silent. See, Jesus Christ was born as a baby, just like the rest of us. Picture this. He was this helpless baby. He had to have his diapers changed, I'm sure of that. He had to be fed every couple of hours. He had to be carried. He had to be bathed and showered. He was vulnerable, just like us. He had to experience playing with other kids growing up, you know, trying to be chosen and playing in a team. He had to experience different things, puberty, emotions that he had growing. The truth is, Jesus could have simply appeared in a bang, but he came as a baby wrapped in cloths and grew up just like every one of us. And this is why Christ is able to relate with us. He's not a distant God. He's not a faraway person, not a prince sitting on a throne in heaven so distant that has no idea what's going on in your life or in my life. But he is someone who understands and can relate with us. That's why it says in Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one, Jesus Christ, who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." See, the Bible says that he experienced the same things we have experienced. All the challenges, the pain, agony, good, bad, and ugly that we've gone through, he has gone through. And maybe some of us, we have experienced the pain and grief of losing a loved one. Maybe others, we have felt injustice and anger. You felt backstabbed. You felt betrayed, especially by someone who's been close to you. And some of us, we probably struggle with major disappointments. While others, you may be going through a period of deep loneliness. Friends, I want you to know this morning that Jesus understands. Jesus understands, and he himself, he has lost loved ones who passed on. The Bible says in John 11:35, when his friend Lazarus passed away, Jesus wept. He was crying, he was weeping for his friend. The Bible says that he has felt anger, he's felt sadness, he has felt grief. He has had one of his closest friends betray him. He was wrongly accused. He experienced loneliness and isolation. He was tortured, even though he was innocent. Friends, Christ was born and he's able to understand and empathize with our weaknesses. He's able to relate with us. And more than that, Jesus understands our pain. And maybe you're here today and saying, "But you have no idea what I'm going through." It's easy for you to speak from a stage, but you have no idea what I'm experiencing in my life. You don't know what he or she did to me or what they did to me. And you're right. You're right. I may not know any idea. I may not have any idea of what you're going through or what you've been through in your life. I may not be able to relate with your pain, but Jesus can. Christ can do it, and he does. He relates and he empathizes with your and mine weaknesses. He's not far or forgetful, but rather he is near and he is here. See, the Bible uses this word. He calls Christ Emmanuel. The other name for him is Emmanuel, which means Christ is here, God with us. So no matter what the circumstances may be, Christ understands and he is right here with us. And we are not alone. Jesus, who is Son of God, he could have simply remained in heaven, but he was born to save humankind. So Christ was first born to rescue all people, and second, to relate to us. And finally, Christ was born to restore us to wholeness. He was born to restore us to wholeness. See, Jesus didn't just come to save us from sin, but he came to save us for something. He came to save us for God. He came to save us to give us peace, to give us hope. See, Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Christ was born to bring peace on earth. But if you're like me, some days you're asking, is there really a way to experience true peace in our world? After seeing what's happening around us, how can anyone find peace in this world? There's so much to fear, there's so much to be worried or concerned about. And we might be worried about the future, the instability in our world, with wars happening. I cannot imagine what I'm seeing in the news today. I thought we would have learned our lesson after going through two major world wars. And yet today, more than ever, we have more than 12,000 nuclear warheads around the world, which can just clear our world in an instant. And from this global perspective, there's this fear that anything can just happen. And yet, even for some of us locally, there's this fear of uncertainty. What if the market crash again? What if I lose my job? What's going to happen to our finances, our mortgage, or what's going to happen to my children's future? And internally, some of us are struggling with stuff that we're carrying with our lives. It's a fear of maybe a doctor's report that I just received, or someone who has received that, who is a loved one. There's a fear of losing loved ones around you. And we were worried about what's happening. Can you imagine the amount of weight and burden and tension one might be carrying, that each of us might be carrying, from what we see in our world, from what we see in our nation, from what we see around us, what we see in our workplaces, what we see in our families, and what we experience internally. There's so much tension externally and internally. And no wonder we feel so overwhelmed. No wonder some of us may feel hopeless and helpless and drained from all that's happening. So much so that while we are in pursuit of trying to find and discover that peace, or find that peace and security for ourselves, we find ourselves even more unsettled and far from any form of peace or stability. But the good news is this, that Christ was born to save us not only from sin, but also to save us for something, so that we can experience that peace and to be restored to wholeness in God. See, the word peace used in the passage earlier, it means more than just being quiet or still. It means more than just a state of mind. It actually, the word peace represents wholeness, when all essential parts are joined together as a whole. See, peace is more than a concept or a state of mind. Peace is a person. And this person is Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. In other words, He's able to give peace. And Jesus is the only one who has the power to make us whole again in God. John 14:27 says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." See, the peace that Jesus gives is not a peace from war or from conflict or from pain. Rather, it's a peace that brings wholeness to our hearts, to our soul, to our being. A peace that is that holds true from the inside out. That even when things around us may be unsettling or in a chaos, we still have that peace. See, this peace that Jesus gives is different from what the world gives. See, the truth is we can be so hyper-connected globally with access to all kinds of information and help available. And I would have thought that we could have found peace so easily. But yet, still today, so many of us are feeling a lack of peace and wholeness in our lives. Why? Because we are disconnected from God. But Jesus gives a peace that brings wholeness to our lives. And this wholeness can only be found in God alone. A wholeness that comes from being restored with God in relationship. And today He wants to give you this peace that defies any form of logic. A peace that will bring you into full restoration with God. The Bible says in Philippians 4, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So even though there may be so much going on around us, much to be worried, much to be concerned about, but we can still face each day because of this peace from God and this wholeness that is found in Him. Well, friends, in 2015, my father-in-law actually received a health report that he had a rare stage 3 cancer. And this cancer had spread to part of his pancreas. So the doctors had to send him immediately for surgery and treatment. He had to remove part of his pancreas. And after going through surgery, going through treatment for a period of time, at least about, I think, 6 months or so, we went for the next report, and the next report that came back actually was even worse. The doctor revealed to him that, oh, after going through all this, your cancer has become stage 4. It became worse. And at a point of time, all of us, my wife, her siblings, our whole family, we were so worried, so concerned for him. And we could tell that my father-in-law was worried as well. He was uncertain about the future. But I remember this particular incident where one day after the doctor, he met with the doctor, and it was revealed to him that he had about 6 months to 12 months left to live. And at that point of time, this kind of news, it's like, I mean, how are we going to go on? I can only imagine, as for all of us then, our family, we were just so heartbroken. We were just grieving. And I remember my father-in-law just telling us, okay, here's my password, you know. Get ready. You know, let's prepare for the worst. It was a very difficult time for him, for our family, and the stress that's on him and on all the loved ones. Any normal person would find it difficult to find peace in such a situation. And yet for my father-in-law, he somehow managed to find this peace in his life. That even though, yes, the news was bad, yes, the report says this, he still managed to have peace from within. And as the days go by, we could see that he wasn't over-concerned, he wasn't flustered, he wasn't worried. After a while, he wasn't concerned about the news, because he somehow had this peace that seemed illogical. It's as though he was okay if he were to die right now and to leave this earth. Because he mentioned before, he knew that even if he were to die, he would be with Jesus. While all this is happening, at the same time, he did not give up on living. And he had a hope and trust in God to just lead him one day at a time. A long story short, after much prayer, much treatment, and a lot of surrender, my father-in-law's condition slowly, gradually improved. And his cancer marker, after report, slowly reduced. And the doctor himself was actually shocked. He's like, this is a miracle. How can this even happen? Well, from the news back in 2015, of having the report that says you have less than a year left to live. And even during that period of time, my wife and I, we were planning to get married, but we moved our wedding earlier because of this news. Everyone was just worried and fearful. From then till today, I've got good news. My father-in-law is actually cleared from any cancer in his body. And he is a living example of God's peace and His power in the midst of all the pain and suffering. See, all glory goes to God. This true peace is when we are restored to wholeness in God. And whatever that we experience today in our lives, whatever pain, whatever hopelessness, helplessness, disappointment, whatever you feel and experience is real. It is real. But I want you to know this morning that God is real too. That Jesus Christ, He was born not from a faraway place. He didn't come, He didn't stay in heaven, but He was born as a baby. And He came to rescue us. He came to relate with us. And He came to restore us to wholeness. So as much as what we're going through is so real and so evident, but He is real. And He is here. And He is here to give you peace. He is here to give you great joy. He is here to give you hope and life. That even though things may be difficult, something on the inside still has this peace and wholeness in God. Even though things around us may be falling and crumbling, our wholeness still holds true in God. Friends, of all things God could have done, He chose to send His Son Jesus, to be born as a baby in a town called Bethlehem. Some of you will be like, Beth, what? And on the surface, it may seem like everything was wrong. In the middle of the night, wrong time. Out in the open field, the news is released. In a manger, in a stable, wrong place. Wrong people, the shepherds of all people. Wrong time. Everything seems wrong. Yet all of this was part of God's plan to make us right with Him. See, God sent us the very person we needed most. If it was a money issue, He would send you a banker. If it was a problem with society, He would send you a politician. But He sent us Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who is able to save us from the inside out. Christ was born to rescue all people. He was born to relate with us and to restore us to wholeness. Christ was born to save humankind. And He saved us by giving His life and dying on the cross for our sins, so that we can have life and life to the full in Him. See, Jesus was born into this world so that He could die on our behalf to save us. And this is indeed the most wonderful time of the year. See, today, we are all at the right place, the right time for us to be right with God. Can I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to take a few moments to pray with us and give us an opportunity to respond to God this morning. And there are two groups of people that I would like to speak to with no one looking around. The first group, you're here and you've been battling with fear and worry in your life. And you've been going through a very difficult time. Maybe you're feeling helpless, you're feeling overwhelmed. And today, this morning, you say, I need God's divine intervention over my life. I need His peace, and I need His power, and I need His healing. If that is you across this room, no one looking around, just on the count of three, just quickly slip up your hands. 1, 2, 3. If that is you, I want to pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just slip up your hands right now. Thank you. Anymore? Thank you, thank you. Just slip up your hands. Just a few more moments. You need God's power. Thank you. I see the hand up there. Thank you. Thank you. And the second group of people that I want to pray for, maybe you've heard about Jesus before, but you've never had a relationship with God. Or maybe you once had a relationship with Him in the past, but life happened and you've grown so far and disconnected from God. And today God wants you to know that He has never moved and He's still here, ready for you to come to Him. And if you are here and you want to receive this good news of great joy and peace, and you say, I want to receive Jesus into my life. I want to receive this Jesus who brings peace, who brings joy, who brings hope into my life today. On the count of three, just no one looking around, just slip out your hand so that I can acknowledge and you can put it down. 1, Jesus loves you. 2, He died for you so that you can live. And 3, if that is you, quickly slip up your hands right now. You say, I want to receive Jesus into my life. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the hand. A few more moments, any more. You sense God speaking to you right now. You say, God, I want to give you my life. If that is you, come on, just lift your hand right now. No one looking around. Thank you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, church, I want to encourage us to all pray this prayer together. If you say, I want to give Jesus my life, all of us as a church, let's pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for coming into this world. Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my sins.
Come and be my Lord and Savior.
Come
Today, I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, can we all rise to our feet? We're going to open up the altar right here in front. And if you have lifted up your hands or you need prayer in any way or form, we want to encourage you to come. Come and respond. We would love to pray alongside you and hear more how we can just pray with you right in front here. Our pastors, our leaders will be here in front. So as the team leads us in this song, I invite you to step out of your seat, come to the front so that we can pray with you. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you turn to your friend and say, I want to come to the front as well. Okay, come. As the team leads us, we open up the altar. Come, we're going to pray with you.
How great the chasm that lays between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness,
thank you, Lord,
your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written.